Because of sniper attacks against abortion doctors in the 1990s, culminating in the death of Buffalo, New York obstetrician Dr. Barnett Slepian, and other targeted attacks against women's health clinics, there is an awareness that these are dangerous workplaces, hazardous jobs. In Claremont, New Hampshire, a clinic was closed for 6 weeks due to a hatchet attack by a juvenile in October. An arson attack at a clinic in Thousand Oaks, California, closed a facility in September. A similar attack on a clinic in Pullman, Washington, also closed that facility in September. And all of those attacks preceded the attacks at the Planned Parenthood facility in Colorado last weekend. Since 1994, the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act has made it a federal crime to interfere, injure, or intimidate anyone who seeks access to reproductive health care. Enforcement of the act resulted in a decline in targeting of women's health clinics, but the FBI saw the trend reverse after the 2009 murder of Dr. George Tiller, a late-term abortion provider in Kansas. Are women's health clinics such a target of American radicals and armed opportunists that they need to be treated like military installations with constant surveillance and a show of force to deter attackers? Joining us is Michael German, a former FBI special agent. He's now a fellow at the Brennan Center at NYU right here in New York City. Michael, are women's reproductive health clinics understood to be a high-risk occupation, a high-risk facility, a place that FBI agents and federal agents understand are likely targets?
Certainly there is a long history of attacks on abortion clinics and other women's health centers. So it's certainly acknowledged that this is part of a group of targets that are out there. Fortunately, the numbers are still very low compared with general violence throughout the United States of America, unfortunately.
When Congress takes a look at, you know, terrorism and the vulnerability of the United States, they tend to separate issues like Syrian refugees and Islamist extremists into one set of hearings,
right,
and look at homegrown American radicalism in another set of hearings, and maybe even look at militia movements and violent movements that have a history in the United States in even another set of hearings.
Or not look at them at all.
Right. Can you describe your assessment of the problem there with that, psychologically or otherwise?
Well, part of the problem is terrorism is distinguished from other violent crime by its political motive. So you can imagine that counterterrorism, therefore, tends to have political implications in what measures are taken and how much rhetorical effort is directed toward a particular threat versus a different threat. So clearly we know from data that violence from the far right usually claims more victims than any other type of terrorism, but somehow we don't react to it in the same way. And part of the problem is there has been government-funded research on terrorism that is just awful, that doesn't stand up to scholarly standards, that doesn't use empirical evidence. And that false information is out there misleading not just the public, but also misleading policymakers and misleading actual security individuals about the nature of the threats that are out there. And what we've seen is a lot of state and local law enforcement agencies have grouped their resources together to create intelligence fusion centers and the like, and are engaging in the same types of broad surveillance that have been shown both in the federal and the state and local systems not to be effective in countering terrorism.
Are you telling me that the federal government intensively tracks Islamist potential criminals in the United States using surveillance and various kinds of investigative techniques, but there is no coherent, coordinated attempt to track crimes that might result in violence at abortion clinics, even though there's a statistical trail of evidence going back decades that, in fact, this is likely to happen in the United States?
It's amazing. I mean, in the—
So you're saying yes to that?
Yes. Wow. Yes. And it's amazing that around 2004, 2005, the FBI started making public declarations that environmental terrorism was the number one domestic threat, even though there had been no loss of life regarding any incidents of environmental terrorism. And somehow this violence on the far right was treated as not as serious. So I think it is a problem, and part of the problem is there isn't objective data collection. And once we have objective data, then we can make better decisions about where our resources should be devoted.
Well, this isn't objective data, but any comment on the discussion over the weekend that somehow rhetoric has been inflamed in the abortion debate to trigger certain people to act violently, that the market in body parts videos somehow in the abortion clinic case might motivate violence where none was possible before or likely before?
Right. So what we have seen, according to the FBI, is that there is a increase in incidents at abortion clinics since the videos were produced. And that's something that's important data to consider. But I think what we have to keep in mind is that millions of people saw these videos. Millions of people have strong anti-abortion views. The fact that a handful of people act out doesn't mean there's a direct connection from the activism to the terrorism.
Former FBI Special Agent Michael German is a fellow at the New York University Brennan Center here in New York City.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.